AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. It is Friday, March 20th. I've been out all week in the Dominican Republic. I left Monday morning early. I had to be at the airport around 5:15 in the morning. I flew out from Texarkana to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Miami, and then from Miami to Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic. I got into my hotel, I think it was 12:30 DR time, there an hour ahead Eastern time, and 12:30 at night. So it was a long, long day of travel, but it was a great experience. Being with Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child, passing out those shoe boxes. You know, every Christmas there is a big push to get you, our listeners, involved in Operation Christmas Child, to back a shoebox for that's going to go around the world to a child. And there were some awesome experiences getting to see the other side. So you know, we're on the church side. We pack the shoeboxes. We look at all the shoeboxes that are there that are going to go out. We send them out to the distribution center. They go to Dallas. We have a team from our church that helps them in Dallas to sort them out, make sure everything's there. And then from that distribution point, then they go to the port to be shipped out to wherever they're going, lots and lots and lots of different countries. And I got to experience that in the Dominican Republic. We had three, they call them outreach events, where you have the kids getting the boxes. And then we went to one discipleship event, because it's evangelism, it's discipleship, it's multiplication. Those are the three things that Operation Christmas Child focuses on. So first is evangelism, introducing those kids and their parents and those families to Jesus Christ, and then to disciple them, to help them understand what it means. And that is a great program. It's 12 weeks. It's a great program. They get lots of the kids to come back for that. And then from there is to multiply and take what you've learned and share it with someone else. And so that's the program from Samaritan's Purse, part of the Billy Graham Association, Evangelistic Association. And then Operation Christmas Child is a huge, huge part. The budget for Operation Christmas Child is $417 million. So we just see it on our end. You know, we pack a shoebox, and probably costs $20-$25 to pack a shoebox. And from there, then the huge expenses come in to get that shoebox into the hands of a child. Well, I wanted to read to you from Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. It says, "And they were bringing even their babies to him, so that he would touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they began rebuking them. But Jesus called for them, saying, 'Permit the children to come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all.'" I still remember when I was in college, my discipleship leader, Everett Sheffy, he told me, he said, "How does a person come into a relationship with Jesus?" He said, "It's simple, childlike faith." I can remember witnessing to a guy one time, and he said to me, as I explained the gospel to him, he said, "That's too easy. just to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As they told the Philippian jailer, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You don't have to do anything. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household. He's already done all the work. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So how do we receive Christ? Simple, childlike faith, trusting in him and him alone. So it was really an awesome experience for me to get to see those kids and see the other side of the shoebox. So we see on the church side, we see the shoebox is being packed. We see them being sent to the distribution center. From there, as I said, they go to the port, wherever they're going to be sent out. Lots of logistical work that is being done there, and lots of spade work, so to speak, to find the right churches that you can partner with, like-minded churches where these pastors and these children's directors can be trained into how to share the gospel. Because if you're going to partner with Operation Christmas Child, you're going to do it the way they want you to do it, so that they know the kids are getting the truth. And they go through their material, OCC's material, in sharing the gospel. The gospel presentation is very, very clear. And I'll say this, I heard it expressed three times. The discipleship was less on just the salvation. This is what, you know, the gospel means. It was more digging in about Jesus, 12 different lessons. And so the lesson we heard was how Jesus loves children. But when they share the gospel, before they give the shoebox gift, they tell them about Jesus, the greatest gift ever given. And here's the thing. They let the kids know, hey, we're going to have a special meeting today, because we were there Tuesday and Wednesday. Well, typically they don't have a meeting at their church on Tuesday or Wednesday. And so they had to get permission from their school to be out. And the parents had to sign off on that. And so they were coming. They knew it was something important, but they never said, hey, come, because you're going to get a shoebox of gifts. And these kids are, you know, they're probably maybe upper lower class. That was the neighborhood that we were in Santo Domingo. The kids had, you know, they had clothes and shoes, and it's not like they were coming barefoot and dirty. It wasn't anything like that, but it's very, very low income, and so the people are, you know, they're working hard, but there are not a lot of extras in that kid's life. And so to get a shoebox filled with fun things and toys and yo-yos and a ball and a stuffed animal and a coloring book and pens and pencils and all the different things. I mean, that's a big deal. They might get a baby doll at Christmas time or something like that. They'd get like one gift. But now they have a shoebox full of gifts. And I will say this from firsthand experience. Those little kids are just like our little kids. If you give them something practical, and I know American Samaritan's Purse says, hey, make it practical for them, like a toothbrush and dental floss and things like that. And those things are important, but make sure to have some cool toys in there, whether it's a car, yo-yo, something that they can play with, because they're just like our kids. You think about your kid, you know, your eight-year-old. What does your eight-year-old want for Christmas? Well, they want something to play with. I still remember some little girl was very sad when she got her box because it didn't have any toys in it. And, you know, all the boxes are different. So people got different boxes, and she saw that her friends got toys and she didn't have a toy. You know, it's not like we can just pull from other boxes. And so we went through her box and showed her, hey, there are some toys in here. And so hopefully cheered her up. But here's the cool thing. So they share the gospel, and the ladies, I heard ladies do it every time. They did such a great job. They're just energetic. They get the kids going, and the kids are so excited. They tell them about Jesus, and they say, now Jesus wants to give you a special, special gift. And so they say, close your eyes and reach out your hands like you're going to get a gift. And that was our cue to come forward. And the boxes are all labeled, you know, girls, boys in different ages, 2 to 4, 5 to 9, 11 to 14, or 10 to 14. And so you kind of eyeball these kids and you figure out who needs what. And so their eyes are closed, their hands are out, and then you put the box in their hands. And the kids, not 100% across the board, but many, many, many of them, they kept their eyes closed. They felt that in their hands. They didn't know what it was, but they kept their eyes closed. And then the leader, when everybody got his or her box, then the leader would count down and then say, "Oh, okay, open your eyes." And they're all giggling and screaming and so happy. And then they got this box and they open it up and they see all these things. Well, they never get things like that. They would never get, as I said, they would get a gift at Christmas or maybe on their birthday, but it's going to be one thing. It's not going to be all these different things. And it's just like, this is a box just for me. And how cool is that? And so one of the things that a lot of kids got was a ball. The boys got balls. And the ball is deflated, obviously, and it comes with a pump. But it's not a good pump because it's got to be able to be lightweight and, you know, fit in that shoebox. And so it's small. And pumping up the ball was a workout. And so me and some of the other guys, you'd be like, good grief, this is tough. And there's no air conditioning there. They had fans going. But man, you would start sweating trying to pump up the ball for this kid. But it was just seeing the joy on their faces. And I tell you what, I saw one of the children's directors. Presenting the gospel. And then at the end, when the kids started to leave, she stood at the door and she just loved on every one of those kids coming out the door. She gave them a hug. She would kiss the top of their head. She was probably mid-50s. And she just, it was neat for me to see that. And I was thinking about, you know, this scripture verse in Luke chapter 18, where Jesus says, "Permit the children to come to me and do not hinder them." And they were lining up so that he would touch their babies. There's power in a touch. You know, the last time or last week, I talked about that, being at the Women's Center here in Texarkana and just hugging those ladies and letting them know that they're loved by God and, you know, they're not shunned. They're not the Hester Prynne with the scarlet A on their chest. The Lord loves us. How did he receive the prodigal when he came back in repentance? The father ran to him and he embraced him. Even though the son probably smelled terrible, he embraced him and he kissed him repeatedly. And he put a robe on his back and sandals on his feet and a ring on his finger. And he was given authority again as his son. He didn't say, you know, the son was going to say, you know, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men." And the father wasn't going to go for that. "You're not my hired man. You're not a guy that works for me. You belong to me." And so seeing that lady just hug and love on those kids, that was so, so special. And I thought, you know, that's the way we need to be. And, you know, that's kind of in my DNA. And it's not natural for me. That's something that the Lord has done. I grew up in a non-demonstrative home, and I didn't like touching like that. I learned how to do that. And now I know that there's power in that. And especially in loving on the kids, because Jesus loves little children. So it was a great, great experience to get to be a part of that. 3 outreach events where we passed out the shoeboxes at 3 different churches, 3 different areas there in Santo Domingo. And then that one discipleship event where this young lady, her name was Perla, and she was about 30 years old, and she was great, and such a sweetheart, such a beautiful lady, and just loving on the kids and explaining the gospel to them and explaining what it means to understand the Lord and his love for children and his plan for their lives. She did a great, great job. So It was a wonderful experience. I praise the Lord for my time in the Dominican Republic. But as always, you know, as Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. So I'm glad to be back. Hats off and thanks to the bishop for filling in for me this week as I've been gone. But I'm back today. And so when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about some things, more things in the news, and then taking your calls, 888-589-8840. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. Lots going on in the news. Obviously, we're praying for the peace of Jerusalem, praying for the end of the conflict there with Iran. We know that there are going to be those that are against President Trump for whatever he does, whatever he says. They're not objective. I appreciate John Fetterman from Pennsylvania because at least he can be objective. He can vote according to common sense. I mean, they had the vote concerning should we deport immigrants to our country who are defrauding, who've been found guilty of gaming the system, stealing tax money through their fraud, just like it's happened in Somalia, and then Nick Shirley is showing that it's happening even to a greater degree in California, should those people be deported? And the obvious answer is, of course. And you had, I think, all the Democrats except 20 that voted against that. No, we don't need to deport these people who come into our country and steal from us. It's just unbelievable. Well, I saw where Kathy Hochul, the governor of the state of New York, you know, New York is just a dumpster fire. The people who voted for Zohran Mamdani, I mean, you're going to get what you voted for. Now, you thought you were getting something good. This guy that's going, you know, he's promising you the world. And you know, anybody that promises you the world like that, any politician that's making these grandiose promises, you have to be a little discerning there. How is he going to do that? How am I going to make the city affordable for all people? Well, I'm just going to tax the rich. We're going to tax the rich into oblivion. Well, as was pointed out, well, the rich will leave. If you make it so uncomfortable for them, well, they'll say, I don't have to live here. I'll live somewhere else. Corporations, as much trouble as it is for them to move, if you make it so untenable for them to conduct business in your city, in your state, they will move. So maybe you saw the clip about Kathy Hochul, from Kathy Hochul, 2022, where she was on the campaign trail versus 2026. It's quite the difference in her rhetoric. Listen to this clip.
And we're here to say that the era of Trump and Zeldin and Molinaro, just jump on a bus and head down to Florida where you belong, okay? Get out of town. Get out of town. Because you don't represent our values. You are not New Yorkers.
But maybe the first step should be go down to Palm Beach and see who you can bring back home, because our tax base has been eroded. So I philosophically don't have a problem. It is like I have to look at the fact that we are in competition with other states who have less of a tax burden on their corporations and their individuals. And I would say remote work changed everything. There were people who could only work in an office in Manhattan or work in New York State, and they were captives to our state. They were going to stay. We've saw that that's not the case. I mean, you know, Wall Street businesses looking at Texas, they're not going there because they have a nicer governor. I know that for sure.
We do have a nicer governor.
They're going there because of the tax rate. We have to be smart about this.
So she says we have to be smart about this. And in 2022, she was telling people, hey, you're not New Yorkers. Get out of here. Go to Florida. Okay, so they took her up on that. And they said, yeah, we'll get out of here. We'll go to Florida. And now she's saying, well, wait a minute. You can go to Florida, but make sure to keep sending your money to us. And she's starting to realize that people and corporations are going to go where it's going to be more favorable for them to operate. And this shouldn't be a new revelation. I mean, this is like they are the Democrats, in my opinion, the Democrats ought to get a economics for dummies book, Economics 101. It's not rocket science. If you tax people to the nth degree, they'll say, hey, I cry uncle, I'm leaving. And this was Benny Johnson. He was on a program. I don't know if we have that one up. Yes, here it is. Benny Johnson was on. Benny Johnson is a media personality. He makes no bones about the fact that he loves the Lord. Christ is King is one of his pinned posts on X. But he was talking about the budget of New York City versus the budget of Florida, which one is doing well, which one is doing poorly. And everything, as John Maxwell has aptly said, everything rises and falls on leadership. If you have poor leadership, you're going to have poor results with whatever it is. If you have poor leadership in the home is not going to operate the way it is supposed to. You have poor leadership in the church is not going to flourish like the Lord wants it to do. You have poor leadership in government. You have poor leadership in business. Well, the city, the community is not going to do well. The company is not going to do well. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And this was Benny Johnson's take on what Kathy Hochul said.
Can't they find stuff to cut before they overtax?
Yeah, Liz, I'm so glad that you brought up these numbers. In preparation for your show today, I actually pulled the Florida budget for the state of Florida that has, let's see, 26 million people living in this state. It is the fastest growing economy, arguably in the world. It's in the top 10 economies on earth. It is actually growing instead of collapsing. And we have a lower budget for the entire state than just New York City. So explain to me, how does that work exactly? And here's a great question for you, Liz. I think you're in New York. Are you broadcasting from New York?
Yes, we are.
You know the city well. Has New York City gotten better or worse?
Worse.
With all this excess taxation? Are things better? Are things cleaner, more orderly, safer?
No.
The New York City has added $40 billion to its budget since Michael Bloomberg left. $40 billion. Have you seen the benefits of that?
No. You should see the potholes out here. They're bigger than Jupiter. Benny Johnson, it's so good to have you on the show. We'll have
That's
you
right.
back on again soon.
That's
great stuff
right.
there, Benny. Thank you so much, my friend.
So it seems to me that the left, their answer to anything in as it relates to governing people, give us more money. We need to increase taxes. We can't do what we need to do to make your life so much better unless we increase taxes. And so you give them more money and more money and more money. And what do you get for it? Nothing. It's worse than it was. Give you an example. Gavin Newsom in California. And I think Gavin Newsom is one of the worst governors to have ever lived, rivaled only maybe by Tim Walz. And Zoram Mandami is going to be right up there. He's not a governor, but he's a mayor. He's going to be right up there for people who never should be given the reins of leadership. Kathy Hochul never should be given the reins of leadership. They're terrible. You give them, hey, what if we gave you like $1 trillion? You think then you could solve the problems in your city, in your state? They would waste it. They wouldn't solve any problems. It would go to waste, fraud, and abuse. Give you an example. Gavin Newsom. Well, he's been championing the fact that we are going to attack the issue of homelessness in California, in San Francisco first, and then in the state of California. And he's spent $37 billion since 2019, and he's become the homeless capital of the nation. The crisis is worse now than ever. $37 billion. What did you get for it? Nothing. It made it worse. The high-speed rail that they voted in California in 2008, we're going to build this high-speed rail from San Francisco to L.A. The cost is $35 billion. The completion date is 2020. That was in 2008. That's what these people voted for. Well, how's the high-speed rail going? It's 2026. Well, it's going to cost more. The cost now is not $35 billion. It's $130 billion. They've spent $20 billion so far from what I got from AI. That doesn't sound right. I think they've spent more than that. AI is, you got to check AI. AI is wrong a lot of the time. And finally, if you keep drilling down, they finally, oh yeah, I didn't know that. AI is like talking to Joe Biden or something. That's crazy. Anyway, the cost now is $130 billion estimate, and it won't be completed until 2038. And so right now it's the train to nowhere. They have very, very little to show for the billions of dollars they've spent since 2008. And it's a joke. It's an expensive joke, a cruel joke. But these people get nothing done. Nothing done. If you give them more money, it doesn't solve the problem. There's just more waste, fraud, and abuse. Budget waste. In California, the budget has gone since 2019, and I'm getting these numbers from AI. Obviously, I'm trusting that AI has these numbers right. Typically, they can get some of this stuff right. Hopefully, anyway, the budget $215 billion in 2019. Now it is $300 billion, and they're operating in the red. Obviously, we know in California, as far as preparing for a wildfire, they get an F minus. They were just terrible. How they handled it, just terrible. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And the left really needs to take a class on economics for dummies, economics 101, and understand that taxing people, making things harder for people, doesn't help your city, doesn't help your state. It is going to wreck and ruin your city and your state. Give you an example, too. This is unbelievable. New York City spends $81,700 per year per homeless person. $81,700 per year. The median income in New York is $81,200. They spend more than the median income, and the homelessness problem is not going away. It's growing. It's unbelievable. I can make more money, or the government is going to spend more money than a private citizen can make on average trying to take care of a homeless person. There's so much waste in government. There's so much fraud, as Nick Shirley, independent YouTube guy, he just goes out there with a camera. And he's got some horse sense, but he goes out there and finds all this fraud. He does it in just a few days. And our government bureaucracy can't find any of that. And, you know, as Gavin Newsom's been going after Nick Shirley, and Nick Shirley himself has said, why am I the bad guy for pointing out the fraud. As Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? But he is the enemy of Gavin Newsom, and they want to shut him down. And he's the enemy. They're doxing this guy. He's a kid. He's 23 or 24 years old. He's a young guy. But he's doing a good work because he's shining the light on all this waste and fraud and abuse and corruption. It seems like everybody, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or independent, it seems like all of us should agree, hey, we need to quit wasting our tax dollars. We need to quit allowing people to blatantly steal our tax dollars. And if somebody comes in to our country from another country and they're stealing welfare monies, well, we need to find out who that is and prosecute that person and get this person out of the country, never to return again. You're not going to come in here and steal from us. It's Rudy Giuliani one time said, you know, who would sit down at a poker table playing poker with an individual you know is cheating, and yet you continue to play with that person? Well, you'd have to be a moron with a capital M to continue to do that. The game is rigged. This guy is cheating you, so quit playing with him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. And we are coming up against a break, and we are going to be taking your calls. I like to do that on the program, as you know, those of you who listen regularly. I like to do that in the last segment to hear from our listeners. So if you have a question, a comment, please give me a call and let's talk. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let me just say, as you heard at the break, Activate Summit 2026 is coming. Debbie and I are looking forward to being in Tupelo July 16th through the 18th at the Cadence Bank Conference Center for this Roots to Fruit, Grounded in Truth, Growing in Grace. Bert Harper will be there. Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama, will be there, along with others, great vendors and partners will be there. And this is just a great time for a family. So you can find out more, afa.net/summit, afa.net/summit. Be a great thing to take your family this summer to the Activate Summit and learn and grow together. Well, give me a call at the break, 888-589-8840, and let's talk when we come back.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And in this segment, we are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, we would love to hear from you. I was talking in the first segment about my experience in the Dominican Republic. Just got back late last night. Another long, long day. Flying from Santo Domingo to Miami, a long layover, then to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Texarkana. We landed in Texarkana. I got up that morning at 5:15, which would be Eastern time, so 4:15 my time, and then got to Texarkana about 10 after 10 p.m. So long day. Glad to be back home. As Dorothy said in The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. But we're talking about Operation Christmas Child, and then I started talking about just governance and people voting for folks that know what they're doing. And the fact that we vote these people in who are just going to waste money and do nothing and get nothing done. Politicians who make all these promises and don't do anything. It's just sickening. We cannot continue to do that. And I get it that there are a lot of people who hate Donald Trump. So vote for someone else. Quit voting for these politicians that take your money, increase taxes, take more money, and you get nothing for it. If we're spending more money on homelessness in New York City per person than the average median income, $81,200 a year is the average median income, and we're spending $81,700 per year per homeless person, something is grossly wrong in that scenario. And the throwing more money at a situation with bad leadership is not the answer. And one of the things that many people, not just me, many people see in Donald Trump that we like is that guy gets things done. He's a businessman. And business people know that you can't promise a high-speed rail in 2008 to be completed in 2020, and here it is 2026, and you've spent way more than what you said you were going to spend, and you got nothing to show for it. I mean, you don't have a train that's going 10 feet down the track. And it's just pitiful. That doesn't fly in the business world. You'd be bankrupt in short order, but it seems to work in politics because nobody expects the politician to follow through with what he promises. Well, we need to start expecting those guys to do what they say, and we need to start auditing things closely, and we need to remove the waste, fraud, and abuse, and all the government red tape that just wastes people's money and wastes people's time. So, end of rant. Well, we're going to the phone lines. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, and I want to say, welcome home, Dorothy.
Thank you.
I don't know. But anyway, yes. But I called, I was telling her, this hugs, you know, you were talking about that as you went to the Dominican Republic. And I was telling her, to me, that is something we don't do enough of. And when our church service starts every Sunday, we start with a worship song. And then, after that worship song, we're encouraged just to go around and greet people. And it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, hugging the children and, you know, hugging the adults. But some people don't get any hugs at all.
Right.
And so I really zeroed in on that. And then I go down to visit people at Azalea Heights. It's a nursing facility. And I'm telling you, sir, I mean, they love a hug. Because some of them don't get anybody to go and visit them.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Linda. I've found that over the years that people, you know, the Bible tells us that. Greet one another with a holy kiss, a holy embrace. And we're made for that. When the Lord made us, you know, studies have shown that little babies, if they don't get that physical touch and those embraces, it affects them. And they can even to the point of, you know, they're not going to be able to make it. And so we're just made for that. And in the church, that's where people ought to feel loved. And especially as I made this plea to pastors, I get it that some pastors are not wired that way. I was not wired that way. I learned to be that way because I know it's important. And once you make that switch in your mind that this is important, then it's wonderful to do that. And so, like, just with those little kids in the Dominican Republic, you know, hugging those little kids and letting them know that they're special, and just hugging people in the church, especially the little kids at First Baptist, that goes a long way. As I told you last week, when I was talking about what I learned from Russ Bush at my doctoral seminar one week that I was with him years and years and years ago. He said, love on the kids. Hey, as pastors, love on the kids. When you meet new people in your church, you meet the parents, spend time with their kids, because parents love their kids. And if you love their kids, they will love you. And it was so simple, but so profound, made a difference for me. Well, thank you, Linda. God bless you. We have Michael on the line from Indiana. Michael, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it. And my wife is director of children's ministries at our church. And in keeping with your last comment there, she's done more, in my opinion, and I'm biased, I'm her husband, of bringing kids that then their parents come to our church.
Yes.
For the very reason you said. But that's not why I called.
Okay.
Mine was back to kind of your rant, and that is, what if somehow we can get the next generation of leadership, our politicians, to do just one simple thing? And that is, you cannot raise taxes, ask us for more money, until you've proven that the money we've already given you is accounted for and there's no fraud.
Mm. I love that. I don't know if we can do that, Michael, but that's a great, that would be a great thing to do. There's, you know, just as Nick Shirley, I mean, you look at a state like Minnesota. Now, Minnesota is run by people who are inept and corrupt, in my opinion. Definitely. I mean, it's either one or the other. You can't look at all this fraud and say, okay, you guys are really on the ball. Either you're really on the ball and you're corrupt and you're doing this on purpose, or you're a total buffoon and these things happen, you didn't even know it. Or I think in this case with Minnesota, they're both. But, you know, California, it's like, go through that, start running those governments like a business. And yeah, you'll cut through all the waste, fraud, and abuse. You let Elon Musk run those governments. Now, people wouldn't like it. They didn't like it when he was running Doge. And he was saying, hey, there's you know, the USAID, the whole thing, as he said, it's not an apple with a worm in it. The whole thing is a worm. It's very little of what we're doing that's actually beneficial. All of it's corruption and all of it is bureaucracy. And we just hire more and more people that do nothing, basically. And so, hey, Michael, I'd be all for that. I don't know how to get that accomplished necessarily, but hopefully the younger generation is seeing some of these things and saying, wait a minute, you know, we have all these grandiose ideas, we want to do all this thing, oh, we're helping humanity, we're feeding the poor, you know, Christianity's all just about Matthew 25, whatever you did to the least of my brothers, that you did to me, that's how you get into heaven, just by the social gospel, by giving people soup and soap and a shirt on their back. That's evidence of Christianity, but that's not how you get to heaven. It's not about good works. It's about trusting Jesus. And when the Lord comes in, everything changes. And we want to help those, as I said repeatedly, we want to help those who cannot help themselves. We don't help those who will not help themselves. And in America, we're spending so much money giving to people who are able-bodied people. They can help themselves. They've chosen not to. And the Bible says very clearly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. Don't enable that guy. Don't help that guy. Hunger is a great motivator to get out there and start doing for yourself. John Wooden said he learned from his dad, never do for someone else what they should be doing for themselves. You're not helping them in that instance. You're hurting them. So God bless you, Michael, and thank you for, tell your wife, thank you for all that she does, because in the children's ministry, you can make such a profound impact, not just on that kid's life, but on families. We have a great children's ministry here at First Baptist, and I'm thankful for Grace and her team and Stephanie and her team and all that they do. Well, we have Louie on the line from Indiana. Louie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I have a question about the real ID. Makes me uncomfortable when the government says I have to have something. it, that, to me, that's a red flag. So is it good? Is it okay?
Yes, I think it is. It is very critical that the Save America Act is passed, Louis. We need to make sure that only U.S. citizens are voting in our election. We need to make sure that when people come to vote, that they are the person that they are proposing to be. If you don't require ID, as California doesn't require ID to voting, for them to vote, you just open the door to all kinds of fraud. And, you know, as far as people saying, well, there's already a law on the books that you have to be an American citizen to vote. It's like, yeah, there's a law on the books that says you can't traffic drugs, that you can't traffic children and people, but people do it all the time. So just because there's a law doesn't mean that people say, oh yeah, yeah, well, the speed limit's 55, I can't go faster than that, it's posted. No, you have to put teeth to that. And so the Save America Act, which is getting 85% plus support from Americans across the board, Democrat, Republican, Independent, we all say this, we need this. If you want to save our democracy, then make sure that only American citizens are voting, that people only get one vote. The old phrase in Chicago, vote early and vote often. You put all that away and you make that impossible, and you make it impossible to cheat. I'm with President Trump on the fact that I like same day voting, one day voting, paper ballots that can be easily audited. And you only have mail in for military and for those who have a true medical condition and they can't get there. Those who are traveling abroad and can't be there on the day of voting. Other than that, hey, you have to be there to vote. And if you can't prove that you're an American citizen, you say, oh, it's just too expensive, I just can't figure that out, it's too hard. Listen, if you can't do that, you don't deserve to vote. That's the bottom line. And I posed this to AI. I said, these people that say, you know, it's too hard, I can't do it. I said, if you can't prove you're an American citizen, you're going to be executed, would they be able to do that? And then AI said, well, yes, then they would be able to do that, because obviously they can do it. It's not an expense that they can't absorb. And it's not something that, you know, you're not asking a person to run a 4-minute mile. You're asking them to prove that they're American citizens before they are given the privilege and the right to vote. Because if we don't secure our elections, we're going to lose the republic, and that can't happen. So I appreciate it, Louis. Thanks for the call and thanks for the question. So yes, on the SAVE Act, it is desperately needed. Well, we have Jesse on the line from Texas. Jesse, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Even though EW did a great job while you were gone, it's good to have you back in your chair.
Oh, thank you, brother.
I just wanted to say that I bet all of these states that were sanctuary states and the cities that were sanctuary cities, I'm betting that they're wishing that they had all of that sanctuary money back now.
For sure. It's just wasted. It's totally wasted. And there's so much waste, fraud, and abuse that it's unbelievable. And all the layers of bureaucracy that we have in government. You know, Trump has done a good job, and Doge did a good job in saying these positions aren't needed. And so who screams the loudest? It's the guy that's got the cushy job making good money that has very little to do. He's like, wait a minute, you're cutting my job? Yeah, we're cutting your job because it is necessary. And I've said this, we're up against the end, but you know, if you have gangrene, and they say, whoa, you're gonna cut off my toes? Yeah, because if we don't, it's gonna spread and it's gonna kill you. And so as much as we don't wanna have to amputate, you have to amputate flesh that has so gotten so corrupted and rotten that it's going to kill the body if you don't do it. So I appreciate that call, Jesse. I'm sorry, Pat in Texas, Gerard in Louisiana, Roy in Mississippi, We didn't get to you. You can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org, Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Hey, go out today and this weekend, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and look to Him. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, and know this, God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.